This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Before we get into that, make sure y'all see the shirt, Bubblicious. Make sure y'all check this thing out because you got 2 weeks to order them. Go 7MX. Hook your boy up. What he really wasn't worried about, Chance. And then he's going to get off the race and be like, oh, that was cool. Chance did his thing. And then realize Chance is in second in points. And then he's going to switch. Well, that's what he did. He switched because this weekend, I knew he wouldn't let that go. Changing a fork a millimeter, raising it up and down. It's a huge change, It's one of those changes that like you don't do unless you know 100% like this is going to be better.
Little James, Bubba,
Duck to you,
and the AMA Hall of Fame.
But Stewart has found a way to redefine this whole race course.
Oh my goodness.
Fastest guy I've ever seen on a bike.
He'll win his second world championship.
You can call him whatever you want. He'll still kick your ass every Sunday.
What's up, guys? You know who it is, your boy JS7. And you know where we at? We at the Rewind, baby, from round four for High Point, Pennsylvania, where after last weekend, we saw the establishment of Jet Lawrence was back.
Jet Lawrence is going to win in Colorado.
After winning that second moto, getting the overall, watching another Lawrence take over the lead, or after last weekend, Chase Sexton needed to bounce back. He had a struggle, hit the ground for the first time this year, so you know he had to show up at round four and do his thing. Would he be able to do it? Well, we're gonna find out. In the 250 class, would Tom Vial finally slap somebody, or would Danger Boy keep being dangerous, or would Chance Hymus get the job back done and continue that streak? Well, you know what we're gonna do, so let's go do it. Round four from High Point, let's do it, people.
Yeah, I'm definitely better today, better than last weekend. It's just, shoulders, they take a little longer to heal, so it's getting better slowly bit by bit, but I need to make sure I be careful so I don't re-jab it or anything like that.
So this weekend at High Point, you always got to deal with rain. It seems to always rain a lot on Friday and never on Saturday, which is pretty good. I don't think I've ever raced a mud race there, but I've always had like mud practices and then you get in the race. But nonetheless, that track gets really tricky when it's like that because it's on the side of a hill. As I mentioned in broadcast, it's built like a taco. Like there's no flat parts in the taco. It's in the valley. You got the hills on both sides. The track's on the side of both hills and you go down in between. So the track, just all the water runs off into the bottom part. But since you're not down there that much, it doesn't really hold too much water around the rest of the racetrack. But the bases on the side of the track gets really hard. And usually when you start getting the East Coast, they like to bring a lot of sawdust or actually dirt on top. So when you have a hard base like it is, and then you have that loose stuff on top, it makes it really tricky for these guys. And in this case, you have basically all that sawdust sitting on the side of those hills, which makes it really like muddy and thick, but then the base is hard. And so it made it tricky for these guys. And all day long, from first practice, second practice, throughout the race, the track was completely different. I think it threw some guys off because normally the track usually gets to a point to where, all right, second practice, or at least by the first moto, you kind of know how it's going to go. Well, the track was, conditions were a lot different. The second practice was a lot slower, which is a little unusual for Mount Morse. Normally, even if it's slower, the track is more of a racy condition where, you know, you have the ruts and it slows down that way. Well, this one, it was just like muddy. So it played for a guessing game on which tire setup. And that was a huge topic point of the day because a lot of guys were choosing tires off the start, which didn't work well on the track. And it just made it tricky for the teams and the riders all day long. Chase Sexton. Last weekend, I spoke a lot about him and where the KTM was, and that I feel like with his confidence should still be there with his riding. I thought he was really aggressive, which he needed to keep that. But it was a learning lesson for him and KTM. They needed to work on the bike. Well, I got there on Friday, so those guys were on press day, and I was looking at Chase, and I actually thought he looked pretty good, looked really comfortable, probably some of the best I've seen him with speed. and, you know, being comfortable on the motorcycle, but that track was night and day difference. It was more like that second moto. It was dry, had some ruts, but it was more traditionally like Mount Morris. So I was like, all right, looking forward to it. Then, of course, it rains. But nonetheless, I've been there, and it rains, and then it's dry by the second moto. So I thought he would be pretty good. Well, coming after last weekend, Chase had to bounce back. You know, you can only have these off races so much like last weekend and still be confident before it starts creeping in your mind. So this weekend, it was a big weekend, and particularly going into a break, riders always like, if you're in a championship hunt, you like to go into the break with the momentum. Because now you get to build off 2 weeks instead of 7 days. And for Chase and KTM, having a good performance here would allow them to, one, get confidence, but also, like, have 2 weeks on working on the motorcycle and get a better direction. So he needed to come out and do it. Well, Chase struggled. And I think with Chase, you could just see how the day was going. There was more frustration in his face this race than I'd probably seen him since he'd been on the KTM. We saw him in Supercross, like, all right, you know, he knew he needed to work on the bike, and sure, in the beginning it was frustrating, but he knew he was going to get better. He just had to get used to the motorcycle. Well, at Mount Morris on Saturday, at High Point, it was different. Like, there was more the frustration of, like, almost like what we saw last year, in the sense of, okay, I'm fast, but like, I'm making mistakes. I don't, like, the question mark of, I don't know if I could beat this dude. And I'm not saying that he's thinking that way, but just the feeling that you got, like his podium interview, he lost the toe after the first moto. You listen to him, he talks about, yeah, you know, I need to work on it. Like, I ended up losing the toe, but
I felt okay at the beginning, and then I kind of lost toe, and after that it was kind of over, so. Well, I'll go back to the drawing board and try and make some adjustments, come out swinging for second moto.
You could just tell he didn't expect that to happen. And the thing with Chase is he rides off confidence, just like a lot of these guys, like the emotional confidence. Like that, what happened at Sacramento, Hangtown, that second moto, that was attitude. That was attitude. He goes down, he's just like, forget it. But he won the first moto, so he had confidence that he can win. And then you saw what happened. It was performance. He just got stronger and stronger as that day went on, as that moto went on. That was all confidence. And then last weekend, he rode good in practice. He looked confident, and then the moto's happening, and then things happen, and it transpires. So my point is that he's that the confidence is a huge thing for him, and especially right now when things are, like, teetering. You know, Jet Lawrence continues to win, then his mindset's going to dip back into last year. And that's what he's been trying to avoid. And that's what, you know, at the KTM after round one, I was like, KTM needs to tell him, like, look, this is a new year. You're a lot closer, but what happened last year was last year. Don't get in that mindset. That's why Hangtown was so huge. Well, we went to Thunder Valley, and then we went here. So what's going to happen is probably what's happening. Chase is going to start creeping into last year mindset. Even though it's a different situation, even though he was the fastest in both motos, and even though he probably, I mean, he had Jet Lawrence beat that second moto, but when you go down and just listening to him, looking at him, it's going to be hard for him to stop falling into that last year trap, because no matter how good he was last year, no matter how fast he was, he just never could beat him, and that's what happened this weekend. It's hard being the fastest person and, like, just getting beat. And that's what happened in the first moto. It's hard being the fastest person, and then you're passing the dude, and basically you broke the dude, and you still get beat. And that's what happened in the second moto. So you stand there after the race and be like, well, I mean, what else can I do? I'm already faster. I didn't crash. You know, the dude was right there. I ran him down. I passed him a few times, and I had him broken, but he still won. It gets in your mind. I think Chase is... You know, when you look at battles, and you look at, you know, when guys race each other, you know, back in the day, me and Ricky, you know, me and Chad, you know, Billo and other guys, like, it becomes point to racecraft. Like, you have to start getting in that racecraft. Like, sometimes you don't beat dudes off speed, you beat them off other things. And mentally, like, you always got to have a plan B, a C. You know, I always felt like, even with Chase, I'm like, dude, you know, last weekend, he wanted to get up front so he could slow down. Makes no sense at all, but it makes perfect sense. Like, that's what you do. And that's what I was expecting to happen. Well, this weekend, second moto, I'm like, okay, all right, like, how does that pace feel? Do you feel like you're making a lot of mistakes trying to run that pace? Well, get in front of him, slow down. You know, that's what Jet does. If you look at Jet, like, he, you know, you pass him, he instantly passes you back and then slows down, because then you can pass him back. It's the racecraft of, like, all right, there's, I don't want to just go wide open. Like, going wide open puts me in a zone that, like, I might hit the ground. So to be able to have that plan B of kind of knowing, okay, if plan A is working, but it ain't really working or sketchy, to go back and fall on plan B, which is having a different one and going, getting in front and slowing down, you would click into that. And I feel like with Chase, I don't know if there's really much of a plan B. And as I'm saying this, this ain't negative. It ain't a knock. I'm just looking at the results. And I feel like with Chase at this point, he's really getting beat off of plans. You know, like, I feel like with Jet Lawrence, he has a plan. He has a plan. Out of all the people that's going to lead me, Chase Sexton ain't going to be one of them. Why? Because I know what that leads to. You know, so his plan is, I want to get a hole shot, and I want to just pull away. But if that doesn't happen, okay, is that Jason Anderson in front of me? All right, cool. I'm all right with that. I'm going to warm up. My shoulder needs, it's a little tight. I'm going to get there. And then I'm going to click in the gear. Where's Chase at? He's coming. Okay. Like, his plan evolves. It evolves. And I feel like with Chase, like, there's one plan. Like, my plan is, I'm going to lead the race. I'm going fast. And so for me, it's just one of those things that he just has to, you know, look at the results, look at the times. And if I'm KTM, I'm telling him, Chase, you are fast. If that first moto, I would have looked at his face and be like, Chase, you were the fastest person. So what do we got to change? Because you don't need to go any faster. You're faster than a dude. And he just needs to start working on that, because I think that's where he's losing the race. But overall, when you look in the big point of things, I think KTM, they know what they have to do. They'll continue to work on it. These tracks, they're going to start leaning towards, like, hey, his bike should be a little bit better. It should be more like Mount Moore's. But these two weekends off, this weekend off, it's really going to come down to Chase saying, what do I need to do differently? And I need to have more of a backup plan and be able to change the plan as the race goes, because I believe that's where he's losing the race at. And we'll find out in a week or so if he changed it.
They were working on Chase Sexton's motorcycle, but what they were doing is they were making an adjustment to the fork height. It was coming in off of the parade lap.
So all day long, we saw teams, you know, some guys would switch tires on the line, or, you know, in between. You know, most of the guys end up running the same tire, especially in that 250 class. But it was tricky because guys would, as the track changed a lot, you know, most tracks, they already gets rougher, or maybe it gets a little bit drier. But this particular way it was in the rain, it changed drastically in each time they went out. So the second moto, Chase was on the gate, and they switched fork heights. And they end up sliding the forks up, which is basically makes the bike turn a little bit better. You know, if he feels like it's a little high in the front, you slide him up. It makes the bike a little bit more balanced. So with all those ruts, you would think that, okay, that's the direction that you want to go. Well, people, if you don't, like, ride motorcycles, or for instance, I mean, most of the people watching this probably ride, but changing the fork a millimeter, raising it up and down, is a huge change. Like, huge change. It's one of those changes that, like, you don't do unless you know 100%, like, this is going to be better. And I wonder, like, when Chase was making that decision, was that more of a KTM change, or was that Chase? Because looking at the track, it was going to be more high speed. And unless they slid them down, unless they raised the forks up as far as made it taller for practice in that first race, and maybe they were just going back to their base, I don't know if I would have made that change, just simply because, one, you go out on a parade lap, you feel it out, you're going a lot slower, and yeah, you see all these ruts, so you're gonna, like, okay, I want the bike to turn better. But then once you go in the race, like, you're going back to high speed, and you got to know, I gotta win, so I'm gonna go pretty fast. So my point is, when they slid those forks up, I was like, all right, well, no, not necessarily, like, looking at their freaking out or a change like that, but just looking at how fast he was in practice. I mean, how fast he was in the race, the first race, he was the fastest. And really, it's going to come down to him just kind of being more smooth. I don't know if I would have made that change. And when you look at Chase's bike, it looked like he had to go really slow and it would work. Like, if he was slow and really slow in the corners, it would work. And if he was really patient everywhere, it would work. Well, that's not necessarily how you ride. You don't really ride that way. So in theory, it made sense, but that's not the way you ride. And especially if you don't get a start, which I'm going to start calling you the number four, Joe Shimoda. And Joe's getting off the gate now. I'm like, damn, dude, he's still sitting on the gate. Just kidding. But, you know, you get off the gate. Most likely, you're probably going to have to be catching him up because that's your starts haven't been that good this year. So you're going to have to start pushing it. Well, when you look at Chase's bike, it looked really, really twitchy, like in the front end. Looked like anytime he was starting to charge, going down those long hills, or anytime he leaned on that front, the thing was like really busy. And anytime you get a busy front end, that arm, that right arm goes up. It don't go the other way, it goes up. So when he made that change, you could see it the first lap. I'm like, uh-oh. He's not going to be able to ride that thing unless he's in front of Jet and he slows down. Like, that's the only way, because he's going to have to slow down. That thing's really too busy. And you can see Chase almost losing the front end in these long corners and ruts. It got really twitchy. So, yeah, he made the change, and it was brought up. It was one of the questions, so I wanted to bring it up. But I don't think it was one of those, like, I'm like, they're freaking out. They're guessing. I just think it was more a decision that they looked at the parade lap, they thought maybe the track was, and they wanted to make the bike better. But at the end of the day, I think in this sense, you got to start thinking, and it goes back to my point, plan Bs. Like, okay, what happens if I don't get a good start? What happens if I got to charge this racetrack? Do I want these forks down or do I want them up? And, you know, the rest is history. So to me, I don't know. Maybe they slid them back to normal, but the bike looked better that first moto than it did second moto. And before you say the track is a lot different, yes, the track is a lot different, but if you know what you're looking for and you know you're looking for a feeling, and I know exactly what I'm looking at, and to me, the bike looked a little better first moto. So nonetheless, I don't think that's why Chase lost the race. Clearly, he went down, but just little things like that makes it harder for him at the end of the day.
The hill.
Oh, no! Sexton has thrown it away!
In that moto, we saw Chase at a point where right before he goes down, he broke Jet. Like, and Jet was, they were going back and forth, and Jet had a little bit more spunk in him. And in the last one, I think Jet's shoulder was bothering him, and he knew Chase wasn't in it for the overall. And Chase just had the better of him. Jet, like, realized that. Well, Chase goes in there, and it's like, okay, all right, we got this thing. And then he just falls over. Look, those guys are battling. He had a long day. To me, it was one of those crashes that if you're starting to feel a little bit tired, as they all were, I mean, Jet, everybody was on that racetrack. If you out there racing, like really kind of racing, you feel tired. So not like you're out of shape, but that was one of those falls that, let's just say, was 15 minutes in the moto, he probably wouldn't fail. But that berm gave away, and he just fell over. And you could just tell, like, it was a bummer for him. Like, just let down. And Jet was like, all right, I'll take it. Cool. So to me, there really wasn't much to it besides it was just another mistake. You know, and all this being said, Chase is 6 points out of the championship. So as much as I'm sitting here talking about him, and as much as I'm sure he's bummed out, we can go next weekend and he can be the red points leader again. So, you know, things aren't that bad. I just know with Chase, at some point, you got to get over the hump and beat this, like just beat this guy. And that second moto, you were right there because you would have won the race. Like if you wouldn't have failed, you would have won the race. I mean, Jet even said it. All right, that was Chase's race to win. That's the first time a Jet's ever said that because that was the first time you ever was in that position, but you wasn't able to get it done again. So in your mind, like, it's frustrating. And like I said, it's you can always fall back into like what happened last year. And I think that's the bigger thing. You're not dealing with what's just going on this year, because this year you've already beat him. You already got it overall. You're ahead of him in a point. So everything with this year, I mean, you're better than he is. But it's last year, and it's this the history that you got to overcome. And that's why that second moto at High Point was so important, or it was such a big race. It wasn't the 3 points. It wasn't a 6-point swing. It was a year, 6 months. It's been – ever since you've been racing this kid, that's what this was about. And so not be able to finish that off when you actually had it, it's definitely frustrating for you. But at the end of the day, right now, you're ahead of him in points. Look, it's all in front of you. So if you can start figuring out the mindset and getting everything done, then I think you'll be fine, because you've already shown that you can run through this whole field, and you've already been showing so far this year. I don't know how many motos it's been, but every time you're up and you're racing Jet, yeah, you've been pretty damn fast. Like, you've been the faster person, so you got that going for you. And this weekend, second moto, you actually had it. You just got to figure out to wrap this thing up, because I think you put all the hard work in there. Now it gets upstairs and just riding this thing out, and I'm sure you will. Hunter Lawrence, red plate leader. I think he came in with 6 points and left with 6 points. Pretty much a wrap. Well, Hunter did his thing. This weekend, Jet, his brother, looked more comfortable than he did. First time all year that I've said, like, okay, Jet just looked more comfortable on the motorcycle. Now, what that was, like, why was that? I think maybe the track was a little bit slower. You know, it was a little bit easier, more patience worked out. I talked about it in the second moto, listen to the motorcycles. You could barely hear them too. So I think when you just watch both of them, because we saw a lot of it, just Hunter looked a little bit, it was harder for him to go that pace. Now, I will say this, the way that track was laid out and with the lines, it was really hard for guys to be behind somebody because of how long those ruts were. And so it would be easy for Hunter could catch Jet, but there was really one or two main lines, and your brother figured out the fastest line around the racetrack. So when Hunter caught him, he started making mistakes as soon as he got up the Jet. Part of that could be just the way the track was and following somebody, because you couldn't see the ruts and how long they were. You needed to see. So he might have just made mistakes from that point because he was that close. But nonetheless, it just seemed like Jet was really just easier compared to where you were making mistakes. You rode good. First moto, you rode good. At the end of the day, your brother was a little bit better, but you rode good. Second moto, I think you fell in that Chase Sexton kind of category, where the first moto, where he was like, you just lost a toe. And once you lose a toe, you're like, man, I ain't got no toes. So, you know, I think with him, he was riding good. Yeah, he got a 2-3, but he still's got the points lead. And I told you with Hunter, he's the type that, you know, when he's on, he's on. And if he's not on, he's going to be on the motorcycle. Like, he ain't throwing it away. And that's kind of the way it goes. So that second moto, he just lost. He wasn't there with those guys. He knew he wasn't going to be there with those guys. And he did the best he can. And that's all he needed to do. So Hunter was solid. He's going to continue getting better. We're going to Southwick, which is going to be cool watching both those brothers. But he's right there. I would say if I had to put him in line of, okay, who's the fastest? Of course, you got to go with Chase Sexton. Chase Sexton is the fastest, but who's the favorite of this? You're going to put Jet Lawrence, then you're going to go Chase Sexton, and then probably Hunter Lawrence right behind him, really close. All three of those guys are really close, but at the end of the day, you just got to know Jet has won the championship. He is the guy to beat, even though he's behind both those guys. Everybody looks at him as the guy to beat. He's hurt at this point, so look, he's the guy to beat until they knock him off, no matter where he's at. So Hunter Lawrence was solid, Honda solid, and I'm sure it was fun racing his brother. But that shit gonna get old if he keep beating you. Just like I'd be whooping that ass in a golf course, just saying. Jet Lawrence. I mean, boy, what are we gonna start here? It's like every weekend we talk about everyone else, but, you know, usually you'd be winning. And, yeah, this year you've been struggling a little bit more. After you came up short on that jump, you were almost Alex Martin style, but you got back up. Well, kid does whatever he needs to do. And I will say this. People always ask me, as riders grow, you know, from the first year to second year, 3 years from now, would Jet Lawrence be better? And I'm like, yeah, he'll be better. And people kind of take that as, will Jet Lawrence be faster? And I'm like, no, because he's going pretty damn fast. Like, and same thing in my career, like, yeah, you maybe get a little bit faster, but not much, not that jump. But where Jet Lawrence would be better at is where he's getting at right now. And just like last year, at some point I mentioned that, hey, you gotta beat the guy like now, because he'll get better and he'll figure out how to win it. Well, you talked about that a little bit in Supercross as well. He's not gonna make these same mistakes. He won't get faster. He'll just figure out different ways to do the same thing without taking chances or making mistakes. And what you're seeing is that, right? You're seeing that. He's not blowing these guys away with speed. He's blowing these guys away with racecraft and knowing how to get things done. And as you grow, and each year you continue winning, each year you just learn more. Whether you learn that you suck, or you learn that, okay, I can win this race in this multitude of different ways, or whatever you learn, he is learning, and that's what's going to make him better. So when you're looking at him right now, he's got a hurt shoulder, and he races differently. He did a little bit last year, but this year is more on display because he's got other circumstances. He can ride around a motorcycle if it ain't right. He can go really fast and show you his speed when he wants to in practice. Or if he's got one arm or no legs, he'll ride along until he has that together and go. That's what he's doing. And it sucks, like, for everyone else. Like, it sucks because you're going to have to figure out how to beat these guys in a lot of different ways. And as he continues getting his confidence, you can't just be faster than him and think that, okay, that's how you're going to beat him. No. You can't just rely on him being hurt and that's the way you're going to beat him. No. You got to figure out plan A, B, C, D, and A. And the more he keeps winning, the more he realizes that, damn, I got a lot of tools in my shed and I could beat you guys a million different ways. And that's what makes him better. And that's what's going to make him continue to get better. So when you ask the question, will Jet Lawrence be better in a couple years? Well, there's your answer. And he's showing it right now. This weekend, he goes in, he looked better. And last weekend and so far this year, I've been talking about, like, Hunter looks a little bit better on the motorcycle than Jet. This before he got hurt. Hunter just sits down in the right spots and he just sits down a little bit more. So his style is more versatile than Jet when certain things, you know, when it's wet, muddy, or whatever. Well, this weekend, that it wasn't the case. But this weekend, if you notice, Jet Lawrence sat down a lot more this weekend. He did. And two reasons for that. One, his shoulder was hurting, but he adjusted to the racetrack because he saw his brother in front of him. And as I said, when the tracks, some muddy tracks and all this, and particularly the kids got amazing balance, but at Mount Morris, when the things that is built on the side of a taco, it's hard riding on the side of the hill. And if it's muddy, it takes more chance. So, you know, just sit down, put a little bit more weight on it. I was impressed by what Jet Lawrence, how he adjusted his body and adjusted his riding style around the racetrack this weekend. He sat down more because he knew sitting down took chances away from him hitting the ground, and it actually ended up being faster. But he also stood up when he needed to stand up. And so for me, and when I say, like, the kids winning races in a different multitude of different ways, well, this weekend was about plans and styles and figuring out, as this track changes all day long, I'm going to adjust with it. Like, I'm going to adjust. So he won the race because he adjusted better than everyone else. That's it. His brother has been solid all year long. Jet looked better this weekend. He looked way more comfortable. He just looked more relaxed. And I think a part of that is just because he knew, one, once being out front, it definitely helps that. But as well, it's kind of been unnoticed. But the last two weekends, he did it last weekend, the first moto, and he did it a little bit the second moto too before he got around him. But he did it this weekend. Jet watches his brother. Now, Hunter, eventually they end up catching Anderson the first moto and passes him. But Jet, you could tell, like, he was just waiting, like, kind of hanging out behind his brother. He didn't want to pass him in the beginning part. Why? Because I believe, like, he was actually learning from Hunter, like, learning what Hunter was good at, figuring out, okay, if I go outside here, how much time do I lose? how much time do I go to the smooth line? How much time, like, okay, going inside, switching it up. My point is he was watching Hunter, and then that way he knew exactly what Hunter did, just like he did last weekend. Like, he watched his brother. So once he got in front of his brother, he knew exactly where he was faster at, where Hunter was faster, where he could chill and all that. And so this weekend, I think the kid was riding around watching his brother in the beginning part because they were chasing, they were catching Jason. Chase wasn't catching him, and then like learning, and then he attacked him, and then he ends up, as I think, you know, towing his brother along. But nonetheless, the kid's aware, and it's, it went unnoticed. But I believe the reason why Jet was able to win that second moto last weekend is because all the knowledge that he learned from his brother and paid attention to him the first and second moto, why he was behind him. And then when Hunter had to pass him, Hunter didn't know exactly where his brother was. So just being smart and aware. And also when you're behind somebody and you can still catch him, you're saving energy. So to me, he adjusted, and that's why he won. I could sit here and talk about all other things, but I want you to just pay attention to the kid, how all day long he adjusted his riding style. He was the best one to adapt to the track. And that's why when you look at the way the race went, it just looked like it was a lot easier for him to do it. And a lot of that came from his knowledge of learning from his brother and then adjusting the way the racetrack, because the places that Hunter, because he sits down and his riding style was different, maybe the places that he was better, Jet neutralized that. He started sitting down and he started doing his thing and combining Hunter's style and his style. And then dude was basically unbeatable to the point where it looked like he was just kind of playing around, towing his older brother around the racetrack the first lap, first moto. Now, it was hard. You could tell he was breathing hard. It's not an easy. It's not like he's just playing with these dudes. But what he is doing, I will say, he is playing with them as far as racecraft. Kid, he does that. For instance, like in that, I mentioned a little bit with Chase. Out of all the riders, Jet will follow anyone except for Chase Sexton. Nope, he will not follow him. Why? Because he knows Chase Sexton has the speed to really, he can run away from him. I don't think he feels that way with his brother. One, because he knows his brother, he rides with him every week, and he doesn't feel that way with anybody else. But Chase Sexton's shown this year that he can be emotionally bound, and when he emotionally is in it, he can bound up and just run off from your ass. Like, you don't want to mess with him. So he stops that train. It's a little bit like the Eli Tomac effect back in the day. When Beast Mode came in, the only way you could beat Beast Mode when he was in Beast Mode is to get in Beast Mode's way, right? Stop Beast Mode from being Beast Mode. And when Tomac would come up and, you know, 10 seconds down, run people down and pass him, you would think the race is over. But the guys that could beat him was the guys that would instantly pass him back and stop him from being in that form, stop him from getting in that mindset. And Jet Lawrence does that to Chase. He does it. Look at it, the way he rides behind Hunter. He chills out. Anderson, he chills out. Well, you know, Jason, if he's trying to run people off track, you know what he's doing. So, but Chase Sexton, oh, no, uh-uh. Like, he tries to instantly pass him. And that's why when I said Chase had him beat that second moto, Jet wasn't trying to pass him back. Only way Jet was going to get beat is Chase did what he did. But they went back and forth, and Jet was like, all right, my shoulder, I'm cool. You're not in overall. I'm just going to, you got me this time. And then Chase went down. But the whole point is that he's very aware. And now the kid's getting even deadlier because he's busting up that tool, but opening that toolbox up and realizing he's got a bunch of other tools to beat you with. That's why at the end of the day, the kid's getting better. That's why at the end of the day that he's still hurt right now and that he's in third in points. But yet we talk about him as if he's got the red plate and he's the winner and he's the leader and everybody's chasing him because they are. And why is that? Because he's beaten you a lot of different ways. He's shown you that speed, I can do that. If I'm hurt, you still can't do that. And no matter what, at the end of the day, I'm going to end up winning. And at the end of the day, what is he going to get for him? Hit it for him, Cole.
Suntan, next on fire.
Exactly. That's what he got. He got. And he got it last weekend. He got it last weekend with no legs. He got it this weekend with no shoulder. He's head and shoulders, whatever you want to. I don't know what he is, but all he does is win. And the kid looks good. And I explained to you, like, what it is. Next weekend, I might explain to you. Well, we ain't racing next weekend. Well, next week. You know what I mean. Next time they show up. I'll explain to you how he beat you in a different way besides the way he's been beating you. And it's pretty cool to see. So as much as things look the same, they are changing. And he's just getting stronger and faster without going any faster, without getting any stronger. And that makes him deadly. And that's why the dude's on his way to possibly win another championship.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
But again, Chase Sexton and his brother, they're still right there. They just got to try to stop him. Do it quickly. All right, and now, you know what time it is? It's danger time. Danger time. 250 class.
Yeah, I got cut off on the start by Chance, and I know, I get it. He obviously thinks he has a chance, so I had to show him that, you know, he does it in that moto, and I came from 30th to first.
Now, it was an emotional weekend for a lot of different places, like a lot of really emotional. Like emotional, like people was like thinking people was doing stuff and they were getting mad at people for doing stuff. And then people was doing stuff because you were like, damn, that was cool, man. You started feeling fat. I saw Miss Peyton like get tear. I ain't never seen that dude. It, like, that was pretty cool. Ty Masterpool came out of nowhere, but Ty was already kind of like there. You kind of forget. Like, you're like, oh man, Ty's privateer. Like, oh man, it's like Cody Shock's story. But then you realize, like, Ty got some talent. Like, he can do this thing. He just needed to figure out he needed to shift more. And he did it. But it was a real cool story. But the story going into this weekend was Tom Vial and Hayden Deegan. And then Rachel, Chance Hymus. Watch the movie, you'll know what I mean. She's all that. It was those three. Why? Because Hayden Deegan was mad at everybody except for he wasn't really mad at, you know, Chance yet. Not yet. Until he is. But it was between Hayden Deegan and Tom Vial. Well, Tom Vial, just like his teammate Chase Sexton, he needed to bounce back. He needed to go in there and solidify that pass. Don't be nice. Go in there and knock the out. Like, you got to do whatever. You got to do it. And Tom knows it. He went outside. I don't know why he went outside, but he went outside. He forgot he went outside, but he went outside. We're like, damn, why you go outside? And he went outside, and then he lost. And so for him, he needed to go inside this time. Well, Tom showed last weekend that he had good speed that second moto. So all wasn't lost. All wasn't lost. Tom Vial, after that Supercross championship, he was one of the favorites. Probably looking on paper, you just kind of thought that his emotional, like the way he is emotionally, he's really consistent. And in the 250 class that you have, probably some inconsistencies, like he probably end up winning just because he gets top fives and the dude's pretty good. Well, Hayden Deegan came in and he just like, that's all he do is win. And then he went in with attitude. And he's coming in with attitude that's winning. And he's winning because he's letting you know how much attitude that these guys don't want none of that. And he just, I wouldn't say talking his way, he's riding his way to it. And for Hayden's sake, I'm going to just hold off on him. For Tom's sake, he needs to do something. And I thought he was going to do it this weekend. I don't know what the hell happened to Tom. I really don't. I really don't know what happened to Tom. Like, he was right there in that first moto. And just like his teammate, he lost the toe. And in the second moto, he was winning, and then he just fell like his teammate. So the bike, to me, looked pretty solid. And you start to wonder, is it, like, pressure? I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, theory would say in history would be like, yeah, it is. And the way he's fallen, you'd be like, yeah, maybe he is getting to him. But his attitude and the way Tom's been his whole career, I don't really see that. But maybe it is, or maybe the bike isn't that good, but the bike looks pretty good to me, you know, like there's nothing blaring. So when I say, I don't know what the hell happened, that's kind of what I do. I don't know what it is. We got to ask Tom. Like, he wants to be more aggressive, and maybe that's what it is. Maybe he's changing from who he is, because I thought at this point, Tom, like wine, he gets better with time. Tom. Well, Tom's going the other way, so maybe it is Hayden Deegan getting in that head. I don't know what it is, but Tom Vial, he better win next weekend or when we go racing, he better win. That's facts. He better win. I don't even know what else to say because I ain't going to say nothing else. Tom needs to win because the way, one, he's losing all these points, but two, no matter what you lose, the difference between the 450 class and 250 class is that the leader has a pretty good points lead, and that leader, he'll create a story in his head that would just make him win just because he created the story, and he'll believe that. Like, a real good liar is the guy that lies and believes his own lies. Like, it ain't a lie to him. That's the truth. Even though he lying, it's the truth. So that's Hayden Deegan. So, Tom, you better win. Hayden Deegan, last weekend I said, well, Sekimoto, look, he let Chance go. I wouldn't say let Chance go, but he really wasn't worried about Chance. And then he's going to get off the race and be like, oh, that was cool. Chance did his thing. And then realize Chance is in second in points, and then he's going to switch. Well, that's what he did. He switched because this weekend I knew he wouldn't let that go. Like, he wouldn't let it go because now Chance is a threat.
Chance was ripping. He was just going good. He had good line choice and... But I got cut off on the start by Chance, and I know, I get it. He obviously thinks he has a chance, so I had to show him that, you know, he doesn't in that moto. And I came from 30th to first.
Chance of threat. You always let, you get those feel-good stories like, oh, dude, like that guy, cool. I'm so happy for him to win. Like, cool, until that guy starts like, wait. My boy Chad Reed, I did it. I wish I wouldn't have did it. I think it was 2011 when he switched to the Honda. You know, he was up there, and I was like, oh, cool, man, I'm so pumped. You got, like, a podium. And at that point, I was like, I'm going to win. Oh, that's cool. Like, little 22 over there, he, like, get him. He's privateer. And then he got a heat race. I was like, oh, snap. And then a heat race came into, like, he got a main event. I was like, ah, oh, snap. And then that thing came into, he was battling me. I was like, oh, hell nah. And we all know history. Atlanta, history. 2011, history. Well, that's what happens. And Hayden Deegan don't want that history that I end up going through. So you get happy for them type of dudes until they become threats. And Chad was always a threat. But I didn't look at him a threat till he was. My whole point is this, people, sorry for going on this rant. Chance Hyman was a threat. So when that first gate dropped, Hayden already had in his mind that he was changing the game. Chance Hyman's negative. Don't like him. Ah! He gonna look at him like Tom Vial. Well, Chance got a start, and he kind of slid out, and he went into Hayden. He's like, got in this airspace, and you saw what happened. Hayden was going to win that race just because, one, he've already created in his mind that he can't let Chance win no more, but he felt like Chance cut him off. Chance Hyman don't even have that in him. Like, he's not even that type of person. Well, maybe if you ask G-League Swole back in, what was it, Birmingham? I mean, maybe Chance does got a little evilness in him, but Chance, he just, you know, flubber, whatever you call him, just happy. You were happy for the dude last weekend, but he's the guy this weekend. So, Hayden Deegan, it was stopping that chance from having the chance to happen. And that first moto, that dude rode good. Remember, first moto at Hangtown, why was that so important? Not because he won, but because the way he won. What it said was, no matter how far I'm back, I'm within 10 seconds, I'm still going to come up. And it makes guys ride behind you, particularly Chance Hyman, because he was the one that was leading that moto. And Hayden Deegan was like 13 seconds back. And next thing you know, Hayden was like ahead of you. That's what it was. And that's why that race was so important. One, it made Hayden believe, but it also made them guys believe that, look, until the race is over, it ain't over. And that's what happened this weekend. First moto, he was just back there. He's back there, and then he wasn't back there. But he was mad because he thought Chance cut over on him. And the only reason you would get that way is because, look, you've already set yourself up that he's a problem. He's a negative. And so you knew Chance got away with what he did last weekend at Thunder Valley. That was not going to happen anymore. Hayden was going after him. He would look at him in the same light as he looked at Tom Vial. Well, Hayden came through the pack. Everybody else knows he's coming through the pack. And he came through the pack and won. Second moto, he was coming through the pack after he fell, and he tried his best. And you know, Ty Masterpool, because of Ty Masterpool and his grit, he held him off. But Hayden really won that day. Like, he won. He says his comments because he says his comments. Now, we'll talk about his comments because people were talking about it, what happened with Chance Hyman, the first moto, what he said. Now, think about Hayden's mindset. Like, he's going to create a story. It's his story. Not saying, I felt like part of it was he's not really trying to belittle guys. he's just talking to them like it's a mindset. It's the fork change. It's Chase Sexton sliding the forks up. That's what Hayden does when he talks, right? He can cross the line a little bit, but that's what he does. So he's going to be that way towards Chance. So when Chance cut him off, to give Hayden the benefit of the doubt, when he said what he said on the podium, he probably didn't have a chance to see what happened because he would realize that Chance slid out. I mean, it was muddy on there and he slid into him. He didn't really try to go in and cut him off from the start. So he said what he said. Now, if he said it again afterwards and after the podium, after the race, and again, that's on him. Like, he had a chance to see it. But his initial comments, for people that don't like it, he didn't see it. Like, he didn't see it. So, look, if you just think somebody is a negative, and look, they're, again, whatever story you create in your head, you feel like that's that person. And if it's a negative, anything that they do is going to be towards negative. So if he felt the way he felt pre-Thunder Valley, before Chance got in second place in the points, he wouldn't have said that. He would have been like, man, this happens every weekend. But particularly, Chance happened to happen, that's how he was. But because he thinks that way is why he can come so far from the back and chase this dude down, because he thinks that way. So as much as people don't like it, that's why he's so damn good, is because of his mindset. He can allow, like, he gets in these zones and then creates battles that aren't even battles, and that's why he can come from far back. And I ain't a lot. They in the danger zone. They in the danger zone, because until you knock him off, which somebody is going to have to knock him off, and I don't see anybody right now that has the right, I guess, mindset until they start slapping everybody they see, they ain't ready to knock him off. Because Tom Vial, I thought he was that guy, and he still could be that guy, but he might be that guy, and Hayden might be so far ahead that it don't even really matter. But Hayden's taken grip of this class and really strangled it, and like walks around like Debo in Friday. Who else wants some of Debo? Who else wants some of Debo? And right now, no one wants some of Danger Boy. Why is he doing this? Look, man, I mean, I don't know why he's doing it, but he's doing it, and I appreciate it. You look at the Supercross, the Motocross, why is he so much better? Well, I think it's just really time. Like, the difference between riding Supercross and Motocross, the reason why it would be way harder for somebody to go 22-0 in Supercross compared to going 22-0 outdoors is because of time. Time allows Hayden to be so far back and catch up. If he's 10 seconds down the Supercross track, he ain't going to do it. You know, he might be that same person, but he won't be able to do it. And if he has that same attitude that he does now in Motocross, there's more chance that things might happen. So that's the difference to me of why he's so much better, and why people will be like, where did this come from? I don't think it came from anywhere. I think it's been here, but now the scenery's changed, and Motocross allows you to be that person. Motocross allows you to get away and be more rugged and like go wide open or win different ways. Supercross, it's a skill. It's a certain type of skill and a certain type of way to get things done. And sometimes creating these stories in your head, they don't end well. Well, so that's to me. And then he wins the first race. And then what happened? Just been a trickle effect. So Hayden's, he's been this person, but he's gotten the confidence because he was able to win those first three races. And how he won them is why they turned it into beast mode. And right now, yeah, he didn't get a neck burn this week, and almost went for the neck burn, but he didn't get it. It just shows how dominant the dude is, and it's going to be up to everybody else to like try to stop him. Now, he got that out the way. Hayden, keep your thing up. Tom, I don't know, bro. Figure it out. Chance, you rode better the second moto. You rode better the second moto. And as you, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, too, because the first moto, yeah, you got, like they always say, you got stuck in a rut. You needed to, as time goes, you'll learn to be more versatile. Like, you know, you tried going fast and you wasn't going fast and you got tight, you'll figure it out. And I think Lars said that in between the motos, and you figured out the second moto, but then you figured out that, hey, damn, he's just, you know, he's just that guy right now. So keep doing your thing. You'll get better. But Ty Masterpool, on a serious note, man, that was really cool. Seriously, that was cool. We had the battle last weekend or a couple weekends ago with Chase Sexton, and it seems like so far this year we've had a lot of cool stories, you know, from Chase getting that victory to watching the brothers race and watching like history that way, and just and the emergence of Hayden Deegan having this and just all these types of stories. But this one's cool because, you know, the history of Todd and his family. And I won't go through all the list, but, you know, with Austin Faulkner, and you're like, where the hell that came from? Well, just stay with me. Austin Faulkner, even Adam Cincirella, I told you, I have appreciation for those guys because when those guys get knocked down, it is hard to come back. And when it happens again, they come back and they come back. And just when I would probably quit, they don't. And so you really appreciate those guys because those ones are the ones with the mindset that are strong, like really strong. They just had bad luck, whatever circumstance, and they can't show it. Todd Masterpool fell in that category. And this is not even on the family side. This is from a kid that came in. He was one of the guys that was supposed to be a young guy that was coming up, AD and whatever you want to say. Guy with a lot of talent, had a factory ride on that Star Racing Yamaha. And then things happen, tragedies happen, and he's injuries. And then next thing you know, he's in the 450 class privateer of last year. Felt good story, battling, trying to pull some factory cars. And then Tuesday before Paula ends up getting Mitch Payton, gives a call because all these guys, they get knocked out. And then he comes up there in the first race, he's struggling, you know, riding the bike as he's riding the 450, all these different things. But injuries, being knocked down, and then coming out here and then winning, like winning Mitch Payton's 300 win, like that's a story itself. That's a story itself. But then when you add in everything else, dude, I mean, you got to, I mean, that's really a movie at this point. And so I give Ty just the respect of what he's able to do when guys get hurt and they keep fighting, and especially like when privateer, and he loves going to the races because they ain't making no money. They ain't making no money. They're trying to figure out how to get their bikes to the races, and that dude's out there grinding, and then to have this opportunity to have this ride was a win like there. But he didn't, it wasn't a win for him. Ty wanted to go more. Like, Ty needed more. And those are the guys you got to respect because you give them an opportunity, they take it. And if, like I said on broadcast, if you would have said a couple months ago that Todd Masterpool is going to get your 300th win, considering where you had Levi Kitchen and at one point this Supercross season, you were like winning both coasts. Like, I mean, you wouldn't think that. You'd be like, Todd, like for real, dude, Ross 450. So it was really cool. And I think obviously with Mitch and losing his dad, my condolences there. What up, Mitch? That happening, you can see the emotional like side of things, but I bet a part of that, those tears were just thinking about Ty and how happy he was for Ty and how cool that was. And I don't know Ty personally. I don't even know if I've ever met the kid, but I've seen him from far and I kind of know his story. So shout out to him and really, really cool story. And this isn't a, you know, this ain't a sorrow in the sense of, you know, like we feel bad, we're going to get you a win. Like, dude, you, first off, you deserve that win. Like, you went out there and did something that no one else has been able to do. Like, no one else has been able to do. Like, yeah, they might win some races and stuff, but you actually held your own and got the job done and broke that streak of the danger zone, and that was really cool. So you're going to get a stew just for that. So we're going to hit it for him, Cole.
Suntan, next on fire.
So that was for winning the overall and doing that. But we're going to hit you with another one. So please hit it for him, Cole.
Suntan, next on fire.
And that was because of being Ty Masterpool and just grinding and everything else that you went through, showing that kids out there, old kids, young kids, kids that's not even out here, but everyone, man, just keep grinding, dude. Like, keep grinding. If you need somebody to look up to, yeah, Jet Lawrence, Jay Sexton, whoever, plenty of them out there. Ty Masterpool is one of those ones that you'd be like, I like my kids to be like him because that kid never quits. And that's all you ask for as a parent. So Ty Masterpool, badass dude, for reals. Awesome job. Keep it up. And you grindy. You grind me too. Like, you grind me. You saw Adam Cincirella. You like, nah, I don't want none of this. I don't want none of this. You was up there battling last year. So you got some fight in you. So I wouldn't be surprised if it happens again. So at the end of the day, good job. All right, people. That was it. Well, we saw Jet Lawrence on one hand, one arm, giving the business still. Chase Sexton, keep it up. You'll be all right. Hunter Lawrence, you'll be all right. And then we saw Ty Masterpool. Yeah, I said it. Ty Masterpool in the danger zone. Hayden Deegan, was my fault? Hey, don't get mad at me. Look, I ain't do nothing, bro. I ain't do nothing. Don't be mad at me. So keep it up. Chance Hymus, yeah, just get a little more versatile. Tom Vial, bro, I don't know what's up, man. You know, you better do something. You better do something. But right now, it's time for my favorite part. Your favorite part, Stu's.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
No. Q's with Stu's. See, they're close. Let's get into it, Cole.
Tego131 asks, does this win cement Masterpool as being more than just a fill-in rider factory deal, question mark?
Tego, what's up? I don't know. I'm not sure where the future is with Ty and Mitch Payton. I don't know. I don't know if Ty wants to be a 250 guy, 450 guy. It just solidifies one thing. He's got a victory, and he's got a victory that Mitch will always remember, and it'd be a long time before they get to 400. So I think in that sense, I think Ty's in wherever he's supposed to be at, that's where he's at right now. So in the future, he'll worry about that when he gets there. I think he's good enough. It shows that he's got talent, which everybody saw that, but it also shows that he's very versatile on being able to adapt to 250, 450, which is super hard to do, and still be out there competing. And in a field, it's so much talent. For him to step in and get that victory is really cool. So it just cemented that the dude's got talent and he's good. So the future, we'll find out.
This is more of a question from myself to you. Do you know if someone like a Ty being on a fill-in deal, like, do you still receive a win bonus and everything like that? Or, like, you know, is the payment structure, how much different is all that?
Good question, Cole. I don't know, actually. I don't know. I've never been in a fill-in deal, and I think the insurance policy for win bonuses probably be pretty cheap for Ty, so to get the premium on it. But I bet if the win bonuses are probably pretty damn high. But on your question, he gets win bonuses for sure, and they're probably pretty high considering that he probably doesn't get much of a salary. That being said, you can structure it to where it's like first to 10th. So maybe you don't get as much for first because you went down the line and you want bonuses for, you know, realistic finish between third and seventh or third and 10th. So you get money from there. So maybe you don't get the max, or he gets the max, you know, for a win, but he definitely gets it. And I would say under normal circumstances, he would probably get more in like McAdoo, because the likelihood of McAdoo winning, you would just think it'd be more likely, where Ty is more of a fill-in. So the premium, you could probably put a little bit more money down on the premium to get a bigger win. But I don't know between Tuesday and Thursday if they had that much time to work it out. But yeah, he'll get a bonus. How it's structured, I'm not sure, but I just laid out both ways and a multitude of different ways you can get that money, and I'm sure you got some money.
Justin Berg, 28, asks, how much of Deegan's arrogance is just acting to dishearten his competition?
Justin, now, I almost answered that really quickly, and I was like, 100%, but I don't think it's 100%. I mean, you got to be that way a little bit to be able to act that way, and at least pull it off, because some people act that way. You know, like when I went in and tried taking out Villopoto, I was like, ah! You know, I don't really take people out. So I was coming in hot. But you know, that's not my game. So I kind of, So, hey, Deegan, he's, I would say his intentions is 100%. That's what he's trying to do. Now, he's probably a little bit that way anyway, because all of us, be quite frankly, anybody that's won, kind of assholes, really. Sorry. Like, I am one, too. We all, you got to be that way to be that way. Like, you got to create this in your mind to never be as good as you ever think you are. And you got to have some kind of hostility in your mind to be that way. So, arrogance, that's what makes him who he is. He wouldn't be a champion without arrogance. Now, you know, I believe his theory is I'm going to be that way to make sure these guys don't ever get that way. But, yeah, it's 100%. That's why he's doing it. He might be, you know, 50-50. I don't know. I mean, maybe that's, I don't know. You know, he's just doing his thing. So, whatever. Good question, though.
JoeyO842 asks, how different do you have to approach Southwick compared to any other race?
Joey O, fans thinking the future. Love it, love it. Yeah, you got to, Southwick is its own story. Now, I think for a lot of these guys that's been there before, you just know, like, it's going to be a long day. And if it's hot, humid, it's going to suck, right? You change your bike a little bit, like, Chase probably wouldn't be sliding the forks up in there. You probably just leave it down because you want the bike a little higher in the front, lower in the back, so, you know, you can keep that front end up. Because Southwick, you got to be light. You don't want to bury that bike in there. It just takes one, loses power, but also lose a lot of energy when you do that. So your mindset's different. I would say this, if Hayden Deegan goes in there and wins at Southwick, the championship's over. Unless he gets hurt, something like that. If he goes in there and wins that race, it's over. Because last year, that was his worst race of the year. So if he can come back in and you know, just like, you know, Jet, they have particular points in the season that winning races mean a lot more than just winning that race. I believe Southwick is like that. So if he's able to go in there, it might be Tom Viau's best place. He won his first race there last year. So if Hayden go in and knock him off, it's over. It's over. So Southwick is Southwick. You got to change mindset. You just know it's going to be a long day, and hopefully it's not that long.
Well, on some insider info, literally just this morning before we started the show, I saw two different Instagram clips from locals from the Southwick area of Deegan riding there this morning. So he must know that, and so maybe touch on that a little bit.
Yeah, so if he's already there riding, that means, you know, he, I don't know, California, they don't really ride in the sand that much, I guess. You know, people always think guys from Florida ride in the sand, but I didn't ride in the sand a lot. I just think if you know how to ride mud, you can ride sand. And if you shift the bike, you can ride sand. You know, it's not necessarily, I think Southwick, it's a tricky spot because it's sandy, but it's also hard. So just getting the feel of that might help you. And locals, they got a little bit more insight, but I think it's just more about being in free practice and, you know, how the track breaks down. But I think with Hayden Deegan, again, to me, him riding there is the kid can ride, and I think he can ride mud. He can ride sand. It's more of a mindset. So he's already prepping his mind to go ahead and feel it. And if he feels like he needs to be there right now, that's going to help him get a chance, then it is whatever. Like, that's fine. I don't think he's going there to learn how to ride sand, period. I think he's going there to convince himself that he knows how to ride sand. That's it.
Last one, Aaron Jones 17 asks, where does Eli fit into the current state of 450 class when he comes back?
Aaron Jones, I mean, beast mode's always beast mode. Like, you know, Eli's always going to be one of the greatest ever that has done this thing. Who knows where he fits in this crop, because I mean, the Supercross, at some points, he was the fastest, but we also saw Eli have, you know, some I don't know moments, meaning not like I don't know what he's doing, but more I don't know if I want to hit that jump. Like, so if he comes in with I don't know if I want to hit that jump, I don't know if I want to go that fast, then it's going to be hard to go against this crop, because clearly, whether you got multitude of plans or one plan, these dudes be like, that I don't know really doesn't really exist unless you're like, I don't know how he got beat. I don't know what he did. So Eli Tomac, I think if he wants to do it, let's just say this. If he wants to go fast, he can go fast and he can run with it. If he don't know, if he's unsure if he wants to go fast, then, you know, I don't know. Then he won't go fast. I don't know. All right, people, that was it. Sorry, I was thinking about Eli going fast and not fast and whatnot, but thank you for the questions. Great one. All right, you know what time it is, Stews and Stews. But before I go, before we get into that, make sure y'all, you see the shirt, Bubblicious, make sure y'all check this thing out because you got 2 weeks to order them. Go 7MX, hook your boy up. Like, it was in the old lady's closet right now. I had to snatch it out of the closet. I was like, what you doing with my shirt? So it was nice, but nonetheless, go check that out. Almost knocked on my thing here, and it'll be yours. So, all right, people, Stews and Stews, let's make this real quick. Stew, got it. Just, you know what a stew is. If you already watched the show, you already know what a stew. Just badass, the badass, cool stories. Now, the first person I'm going is Ty Masterpool. Why? Because you deserve it. You deserve it. Ty Masterpool, you a stew. Yeah, you won this weekend. Cool, like really cool, like special. It just brought it brought you on the radar to everyone out. Now everybody knows about you. Now you got this big milestone in Mitch Payton, but you a stew because the way you hit that ground in Paula, like damn, you stew for getting up after that one. Then you kept coming, and then you last year, you were messing with people. Like, you really wasn't trying to mess with them, but you were messing with them, like, on pull their car. You had some of these factory guys going back to truck, getting them odd looks because of you, Ty. You had some awkward conversations happening between motos because of you, yeah, Ty. So you keep doing your thing. So you a stew for that, but really, you a stew for never giving up. That's it. Like, period. You a stew. And kids out there, you might not know who he was. You might not know still who he is, but he's one of those guys that you should look up to because, you know, it's a not a feel-good story. It is a real story. And guys like that, they never give up. So Ty Masterpool, you a stew for showing us it's possible to do anything, even though when it seems impossible, even though when you were flying out off that bike in Paula, it's still possible to get up and still get that victory done. And when everybody else can't do it, you can do it. That's Ty Masterpool, which is Ty Masterpool's a stew. So you a stew. And Jet Lawrence, last weekend, you won with no legs. And this weekend, you won with one shoulder. And just when you're like, he can win, you still end up winning. And when people are like, dang, your brother looks better than you. And is this the moment? Is this the moment? The moment never comes. It's like the opposite of the Cialis commercial, when the moment's right. Well, the moment never seems to be right for those guys. And I'm sorry for, you know what I mean? A lot of people know what I mean. But if, you know, kids, just make the moment like Jet Lawrence. No matter how you feel, one arm, no legs, whatever it is, you can still get it done if you make the moment. And Jet Lawrence's moment is right now. And he's a stew because he just continues to win. And you're really a stew when you're third in the points and we're talking as if you're the leader. I had to catch myself. I'm like, nah, he's in second. No, he's not in second. He's in third in the points. That's when you know you're a stew. Because even when you don't win, you still win. And that's you, Jet Lawrence. But you did win. So you a stew. All right. And then next. Stu, pissed off. Pissed off because, yeah, I don't know, really. I mean, pissed off because, wait, you thought somebody cut off on you in the gate? Yeah, I mean, but that was already, like, in your mind. I don't know if you really pissed off, but the guy asked me, like, is that, like, part, like, you got to be part of the internet. That's Danger Boy. Is he pissed off? Nah, I mean, yeah, he's always pissed off, so he ain't really pissed off. But maybe confused because, like, I don't think he confused. I don't think he, even if he was, like, I bet Hayden looked at that and he was like, oh yeah, he didn't do it. But he probably thought about doing it, which makes me not like him. That's probably how you look at it. So he ain't confused about it. And Chase Sexton, he was like, I don't know, man, I lost a toe. Like, did I lose my toe hitch? This truck doesn't come with a toe. I don't know. Like, should I slide the forks up? Do I need to turn better? But like, didn't it be turned too much? Like, maybe you confused a little bit, but then he knows. Like, you know, Roger would be like, dude, you're fast. Which maybe makes him more confused because he's like, how can I be fast getting pulled away from? I don't know. But I ain't going to go no confusing. I ain't going to go no stew because everybody else was weak in it. What?
I'm going to interrupt you. Well, what about Rod Bell getting landed on by Sexton? Oh, no.
Rod Bell wasn't stewed. Is he stewed? Like, you know, he knew. I mean, it was like 50-50. It's like, you know, I guess if you get divorced, you get half your stuff in some states. That's kind of how that crash was. It was like half his fault, half his fault. And ultimately, it was like really nobody's fault except for it was just racing. Ravel came in there like he's like, it's muddy. What do you want me to do? I know. I slowed down and I probably shouldn't slow down, which made Chase jump on me. But then Chase, like, what were you doing? Like, you know it's out here muddy. Why are you jumping it? So half his fault, half his fault. But it ain't really nobody's fault because it was just racing. So he ain't stewed. So nobody's stewed. Nobody's stewed. All right, people. Well, that was it. Enjoy your weekend off. Happy Father's Day for all the fathers out there. And boy, it's a lot of them. It's a lot of them. You know, it's a lot of them out there. Kids on the podium. No, ain't none of the kids on the podium this weekend. But happy Father's Day to all you guys. Make sure you guys click, like, and subscribe. Your boy loves to, well, first off, I appreciate the comments, so keep doing that. And I love the support, and y'all show it by clicking. But until then, you saw Ty Masterpool get his first victory. You saw Jet Lawrence win with no arm. We'll see what happens next week. Enjoy the weekend. Bye-bye now.